We're on this series on the Holy Spirit. Some of you are like wishing we'd get off this series of the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about today. Next week, Sam's going to be speaking. Where's Sam at? He'd go out with helping the kids go out. Sam will be speaking. Alex will be on vacation next week. But Sam, he'll be taking care of Father's Day. It's going to be a great time. There'll be Arts in Motion. So be here next week. It'll be a great time. This on the Holy Spirit, though, we're talking about being empowered, how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We don't control the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls us. Yeah, there is kind of a dual role there. It is, you know, the things are subject to us in a way. But the Holy Spirit, why are there not more people seeking after, wanting, desiring the Holy Spirit? Well, part of that is the way some of us have been raised. Some people have been raised that you'd be totally against it. And you got to understand, if that's the way you're raised, give it some time. Nobody's pressuring you. Nobody's telling you you got to do this. Just be open to it. And you know, there's no church organization any of us grew up in that's got it all right. We got about 23 different backgrounds of church people here, and it's been a really refreshing to me to hear from different ones of you, because some of the things you say, when I first started the church, I didn't agree with some of the stuff, but over the period of time, I realized, you know, they were right. And then as we go through these different persuasions and background, but part of the reason some of you may find yourself resistant to the Holy Spirit, because you were raised diabolically different from this. I've been trying to go very slow and show you in the scripture that this is very scriptural. It's very biblical. All right, how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He said, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does dissipation mean? It means it's something that it just kind of goes away. Like you get up in the morning and your windows are fogged and the sun comes out and you just start seeing it disappear. He uses it as a comparison to wine. You ever heard of somebody, they're just wasted? They're no good for nothing. They're just kind of passed out. They're wasted. Don't be that way when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Don't waste your life. And if you're not fully filled with the Holy Spirit, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your opportunity to do great things for God. So don't waste your life. He said, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were to go back and look at the original language on that, the word there, filled, you would find it in this, it's a participle, and it's in a continuum. Here's how it would read if you was reading it right out of the Bible. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not a one-time filling. It's not a one-time filling. It's a daily filling. It's a daily filling. You daily get filled with the Holy Spirit. There's another thing that, how does it all start? How do you do it? First thing, you get saved. You get born again. And you can't even get born again without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws you to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the agent in regeneration. We were of the generation of Adams. We were part of the Adam family. The Holy Spirit regenerates us by the Holy Spirit. We get born again. We get born again. And when we get born again, God then can come into our spirit. But the other thing, you get baptized. And baptism is an outward sign of something that has taken place inwardly. When you are born again, you should die to the old self and you should be risen in the new self. The old man is gone. The old life is gone. And so we are raised in newness of life. Baptism is symbolic of death. So water by itself won't do you any good if you understand what baptism is. So when you get born again, you need to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, why have you been baptized? It's scriptural. You need to be baptized. It's an outward sign that you believe in the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. A cross was only used for one thing, and that's to die on. Today he might would say, get in your electric chair and follow me. You got to die. In Romans 7, Paul goes, the things I didn't want to do, that's what I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do it. And I 32 times he uses that personal pronoun I. One guy said you could take that passage of Romans 7 and you could put ego in everywhere it's got that personal pronoun. When I want to do good, my ego won't let me. When I want to apologize to somebody, my ego won't let me. When I want to forgive, my ego won't let me. When I want to do good, my ego won't let me. When I don't want to do bad things, my ego leads me astray. It's your ego. Your ego. And that's why, you got to let go of your ego. Tell your neighbor that. Let go of your ego. And you need to die. You say, what did you learn today at church? We got to die. Yeah. It's about death. You die to what you want in life and you open yourself up to the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of life. If you could have been there when God was created in Adam, he got on the ground and he began to take the dust of the earth and he began to form this being and he's going to call him Adam. And he breathed in him and made him a living soul. If an angel was standing behind God as he was forming Adam and said, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? What are you doing? I believe God would have been right to say, I'm building a temple. I'm building a temple. I am forming, I'm building a temple. When I get the temple done, I'm going to breathe in it and upon it. And it's going to be the temple of my spirit, my Holy Spirit. That's what I'm doing. I'm building a temple. Turn to your neighbor and say, your body is supposed to be God's temple. It is. Your body's supposed to be God's temple. I'm going to use that verse of scripture. Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're the temple. All right. There's some things that all of us have been taught wrong, no matter what church you grew up in. We've been taught wrong about the Holy Spirit. So he says, so be being filled. After you die to yourself, your ego. And Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? In the last verse in Romans 7. Then we get to Romans 8. He said, there is now no more condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. The next sermon I preach, I'm going to talk about walking in the Spirit. So if you don't walk in the flesh, well, the only way not to walk in the flesh is walk in the Spirit. And so he does not use the personal pronoun not one time in Romans 8. Not one time after 32 times in Romans 7. But 22 times in Romans 8 he uses in the Spirit, by the Spirit, of the Spirit. Something happened in Paul's life. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, and for the first time in his entire life, he knew all about the Bible. He was raised and brought up under Gamaliel. The Bible by itself won't do it. You need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he empowers you to live the Word of God. And so he said, there is no more condemnation of those that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. And he said, walk in the Spirit and through the Spirit and by the Spirit. It's a spirit thing. And we need to daily. Paul said he did two things. He died daily, and daily he asked for the Spirit in his life. Daily he walked in the Spirit. Paul said as long as he did those two things, if he died daily to what he wanted to do, this is not my body, this is his temple. I don't belong to me, this body don't belong to me, this is your temple. This mind does not belong to me, this is your mind. This tongue don't belong to me. These ears don't belong to you. These feet don't belong. They don't belong to me. They belong to you, God. And every day he woke up and he did that. Heard about one guy, he would do this. He always would take one of his shoes and throw it underneath the bed. Because he knew every morning to get his shoes on, he had to get down on his knees and look under the bed. And when he looked underneath the bed, he would ask God, God, today, please help me to be full of your Spirit and let me walk in your Spirit. That would be a good way for you to get on your knees every day, throw your shoes under the bed, remind you to walk in the Spirit. So we go a little bit further. The Holy Spirit is my power and source. You remember Jesus, he come and he was our example. Jesus goes and he comes. He was our second man, Adam. He was the Lamb of God that was slain for all of our sins. And when John the Baptist seen him coming, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God's already taken our sins away. We got to believe on him. We got to believe in his righteousness. We got to believe in his holiness. Well, he said, here's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And John knew that Jesus had no sin in him. And so Jesus goes down to John to be baptized as our example. And John said, no, I don't need to baptize you. You haven't sinned. There's no sin in you. And Jesus said, well, let it be so. Let it be so. And so Jesus was baptized in water. And he come up. And after he come up out of the water, the Bible said the Holy Spirit came onto Jesus. It was like an under the dove. It wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove, or it just came down on him. And Jesus, I want you to know this about it. Jesus never done any ministry until that happened, until the Spirit came upon him. Jesus did not do any ministry until the Spirit came upon him. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry and I want you to wait until the Spirit comes upon you. They were not ready for any kind of ministry until the Spirit came upon them. Read it for yourself. We're not ready to work for God. We're not ready to live for God. We're not ready to do anything with God until we get full of the Spirit. All right, after some of you in this series, how many of you have been praying for God to open you up to the Spirit? Raise your hand. Yeah, and how many, since you've been doing that, all hell's broke loose? It's like, my God, what did I do to myself? Well, it's true, because when you're just this lukewarm Christian, that you don't care whether you come to church or not, you don't care whether you get there on time or not, you don't care about nothing, you're just like, I'm going, my wife wants me to go, or my parents want me to go, and you just really don't. If you're a lukewarm Christian, the devil don't ever mess with you. He don't need to. He's already got you. God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. But as soon as you open yourself up to be led by the Spirit, the enemy will attack you. He will. And some of it that you're seemingly feels like an attack is actually the Spirit. The Spirit, after Jesus was baptized, led him into the wilderness to be tempted. After 40 days of being fasting and prayer, he was tempted. There's some people have this idea that if you get really, really holy, if you really get the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, if you get close enough to God, you'll get so close to God that you will never be tempted again. Well, whoever told you that, that's a lie. That's not the truth. The closer you get to God, the more you'll seemingly be tempted. Because the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. You know what happens in the wilderness, in the desert places? You get thirsty. The fastest way to get closer to God is get a thirst for him. Get hungry. Jesus done without food. He was hungry and he was thirsty. The Bible said if you want righteousness, if you want holiness, if you want the Spirit, you've got to hunger and thirst after it. The Spirit led him very quickly into a thirsty place, into a hungry place. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil came at Jesus with everything he had. He even disguised what he knew that Jesus was here to do as part of his will. Jesus, you know, you're all powerful. You're God. Why don't you do this miracle? Why don't you turn them rocks into those stones into bread? He was being tempted but he was tempted and tempted and tempted and tempted and tempted by the devil. And he did not yield to any of it. He said, it is written, the man of God, the God's son shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. He did not yield. So when we're led, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, we will come against temptation. We will have temptation, but we will ride above the temptation. The devil got so beat up in the wilderness, it said he went away He went away. You know, he's feeling really bad. He went away and he said, I'm going to look for a more opportune time to attack Jesus. And you know what? You try to start walking in the Spirit and you get filled one time, the Holy Spirit's going to stand up. Yeah, he's pretty full today. I better leave him alone. Better leave her alone. She's kind of full. She's been listening to worship music. She's been worshiping. She's been reading her Bible. She's been praying. He's been praying. I better leave him alone. I can't deal with that. But he's waiting for when you get to the point you don't feel like you daily need to die. You don't daily need to be filled. You don't daily need to read your word. You don't daily need to get in the house of God and worship him and pray and seek God. He's waiting for that time, and then he's going to come back and he's going to attack you. We see it right there in the scripture. And another reason people don't seek after this power, because they've been told by somebody it's weird. How many knows Jesus don't do anything weird? The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. You're getting the Spirit of Christ. If you go back and read the Gospels, what did Jesus do? Jesus defended people caught even in the act of adultery. This woman caught in the act of adultery, they wanted to stone her. He said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. He said, ye without sin cast the first stone. And it said from the oldest to the youngest, they begin to drop their stones. The older you are, the more you know you really are a sinner. You know, I knew everything about parenting until I had kids. I had like 7 or 8 sermons on parenting, and now I've got a few suggestions. And they usually don't work. Most people are an expert if they're about 10 miles out of town. In town, everybody knows that they're not an expert. But people have been taught the Holy Spirit's weird. A lot of people have been taught that the Holy Spirit was for a long time ago. I'm going to ask you, if the Holy Spirit was for a long time ago, and what happened on the day of Pentecost for a long time ago, are we in heaven yet? Are we not still living in these temples, and these temples still need the Holy Spirit? We still need the Holy Spirit, folks. Now, I agree. I grew up in the Pentecostal churches, and they are a little weird, I'll have to admit. And some of the stuff they believe in is not quite right. And some of you grew up in Baptist churches, and what you've been taught is not quite right. And some of you grew up in Methodist. I was Church of God, Prophecy, Assembly of God. I went to a summer school, vacation Bible school. I knew this girl in school that got to know Nancy, and she was Methodist. I married a Catholic girl who eventually became Episcopalian. I know so much about different religions, I can argue with myself. And I do often. I don't think I believe that anymore. Yes, you do believe in that, because that's what you was raised. I don't know. I assume the Bible don't seem that. But you've got to believe it, because you were taught that your entire life. And so I just argue with myself, and I let the Holy Spirit try to help me figure it out. But it's hard to go against the way you was raised. I get it. Don't fight it, folks. Don't fight this Holy Spirit thing. If you don't want a certain part of it, just say, God, I don't understand that part. I'm going to be shy on that. I just want you, God. I want the Spirit of Christ. You go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read Christ. There is not anything about the actions about Jesus Christ that I wouldn't want. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Another thing, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Is there anybody here that don't need the Spirit of Truth today? Is there anybody here that don't need the Spirit of Christ? I want to be loving to people that are not loving to me. I want to forgive people that are tormenting me and hate me and despise me and calling me names and spitting on me. I want that kind of patience and that kind of love. I want the Spirit of Christ in me. You know, Jesus had such a passion. I told somebody this week, your passion will always make a place for you. Don't ever try to go into a job field, y'all that's going to college or thinking about it. Don't ever start going down the path of something you're not passionate about, because you'll never be good at it. You'll never be good at it. They say, you see somebody that can really play the guitar, really sing, they'll tell you they've had about 10,000 hours in that field. The only way you can get 10,000 hours in a certain field is because you're passionate. Jesus said, I'm going to make a place for you. You know how Jesus made a place for you? When we saw the passion, we even call it the passion. When we saw the passion of Jesus Christ that he would go to the cross and die, I've never had anybody else die for me, and that's why I'm passionate for Jesus Christ. You ever seen anybody that's just not passionate about anything? They need the Holy Spirit. They need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my power source. It's the source of power. Zig Ziglar, how many have heard of Zig Ziglar? He's a great public speaker. He's been around the world public speaking. And he was had somebody come clean his house in his early days. And this lady, he was sitting there flipping through his Bible. And she said, "Zig, you know what you're reading?" He goes, "I don't know. I read it, but I don't know that I really understand it." And she told him to turn over here to John 15:5. And it says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." She said, "Read that out loud, Zig." And he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." She said, "Okay. I want you to turn to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strength gives me strength." She said, "Now, Zig, here's the thing I want to tell you. You got a choice to make. You can do nothing or you can do all things. Which one you want to do, Zig?" Zig said, "I want to do all things." Well, she said, "Well, you need to get right with God then. You need to ask Jesus Christ coming in your heart. You need to be baptized. You need to be filled with God's Spirit. If you don't do that, Zig, you're never going to be nothing. So what do you want, Zig? You want to do nothing or you want to do all things?" He said, "I want to do all things." She said, "Well, get right with God then." And he become a passionate person, and he become a passionate person to help other people become passionate about sales and about public speaking and all those things. We got a choice. He didn't say that without Christ, you know, without God's Spirit, without Christ, you can do some things. He said, "No, you can't do nothing without me. You can do nothing. You can do nothing that has eternity attached to it. You will never amount to nothing without God. Nothing. You'll come to the end of your life and a few people will gather at your celebration service and there won't be much to celebrate, to be honest." And he tells us here, he said, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." See, God made these temples. We got a body, we have a soul, our mind or thinking, and we have a spirit. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost that guide of the Spirit. Lost that guide of the Spirit. They didn't have the Spirit's guidance anymore. They still had their body. They still had a mind, but their mind fed on the things of this world. Their mind was not set on Christ. But we have an inner being. How is the Holy Spirit going to come work? Somebody, "I don't believe God could ever talk to me." How many has ever been, you've ever been around someday and you just feel like the devil said something bad to you? Like you're like, "I hate that person." Everybody that, raise your hand. Everybody, you're like, "I hate that person. They make me so mad." We've all done that. So I don't get it. We can believe that the devil can speak to us, but we can't believe that God can speak to us. I was telling you about my own self. And one of the first things the Holy Spirit's going to come and do in your life, he's not going to start giving you a word for somebody else. I just despise when somebody just gets turned on to the Holy Spirit and they're trying to give me a word. I'm pretty sure when the Holy Spirit starts working on you, he's going to work on you. He's going to work on you. You don't need to give me a word. You haven't earned a spot. You haven't earned a respect. You haven't earned a place. You haven't passionately loved me and ministered to me. I don't care what you say. I'm going to tell you something. Give the Holy Spirit a period of time. There's some people that I love dearly. If they spoke a word to me, I'd listen to them because they've earned a spot. Their passion for me and love for me earned a spot. So when the Holy Spirit comes, I was telling you about a few weeks ago, I went to Sonic and got me something. And they gave me the wrong meal and I went away and I ate a bite of it, two bites of it. And I go, "This just makes me so mad. I'm going back. I went back and I said, you gave me the wrong thing." And he comes out and goes, "Well, you eat half of it." And I go, "They eat half of it because they didn't want to drive all the way back here." And I was kind of hard with the guy. And so he brought me out the sandwich I actually ordered. And I got down the road and the Holy Spirit that I've been asking for said, "Boy, you acted like some kind of knucklehead. You need to go back and make that right." Well, how did I know that was the Holy Spirit? Because the devil's not going to tell me to go make it right. And the way I felt, I wasn't going to tell myself to go back. So the Holy Spirit said, you need to go back and make that right. Well, I'm already wasted a bunch of time now. I already went once and then I went twice. You want me to go the third time? Yeah, three is a good number there. So I went back the third time. I pushed the little button and asked for the manager guy to come out. And I said, you know, I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I said, I wanted you to know that I'm a Christian and I don't like the way I talk to you. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And I'm going to pay for this other. Oh, no, you're not going to pay for it. So now he said, I'm a Christian too. So we're trying to out-Christian one another. I'm not going to have you pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. The Lord wanted me to come back and pay for it. No, you're not paying for it. And I said, well, here's $5. Give it to that girl that came out here to the window three times. He said, okay, I'll give it to her then. It cost me like $9 for a sandwich. I had to pay the tip like three times. Somebody came out the window. I paid the trip three times. I'm going to tell you, it costs you when you disobey God. Every single time it costs you. It does. It costs you. You might as well obey him the first time. But you know how you know the Holy Spirit? He starts with you. You haven't earned a right to speak in anybody else's life as long as your own life. You know, if your body is the temple of God, and your temple looks like it's been vacated for 70 years, and nobody lives there, and your yard's all growed up, and, you know, the shingles are falling off, and you're like, let me tell you about my temple. Well, you must care nothing about your temple. It looks like a shack. If your temple of the Holy Spirit is talking back to people and being ugly to people and being impatient with people, you haven't earned a right to talk to nobody about God. And he said the Holy Spirit needs to come on you to clean up your temple where you can be a witness. How many knows the church ain't a witness to the world if they're not living it? And us Pentecostals, you know, we want to bring a lot of attention to us. All it does, if you just make it bigger and bolder and louder, it just brings more attention to the fact you're a hypocrite if you're not living love and patience and peace and long-suffering. You're just amplifying the fact you're not it. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's starting with you. The Bible said one of the reasons we need the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. The Holy Spirit will reprove you of sin. He didn't call you to reprove other people of sin. He wants you to reprove you of sin. When he gets through with you, which will take most of your life and probably the Holy Spirit's life, then you'll earn the right to speak into other people's lives. That's way down the road. I'm going to tell you, it's way down the road. The Holy Spirit enables you. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the power. We can't start being better people without the Holy Spirit. We're worthless. He enables us to fulfill God's purpose in our life. But it's God. It didn't say our purpose. That's where we get it wrong. Well, if I serve God, he's going to let me have the desires of my heart. No, he's going to change the desires of your heart where your desires are his desires. And then when your desires is his desires, then you're going to feel fulfilled. But if you don't get the Holy Spirit, you're praying your desires and you're praying amiss and your prayers are not being answered because you're praying your prayers about your life and you got your ego thing going. Romans 7. So he said, to fulfill God's purpose in your life. The way you find out God's purpose is you get God in you and you get the mind of Christ. You get the Spirit of Christ in you. And he tells us here, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. All powerful. This is in the King James, we call it, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want to give you the context of that verse. The children of Israel had been ran out of Israel, out of Jerusalem for 70 years. You know, they just came back. They just had their big celebration. They're back in Jerusalem for 70 years. But this was a time they were outcast too, and they were away from their homeland. They were away from their temple for 70 years. When they come back, the first thing they wanted to do and the thing that they were taught to do is you rebuild your temple. You need the temple because the temple is where the presence of God is, and you need the presence of God. Israel had learned that finally, that they needed a temple and they needed God. And so they come back and they're depressed. Look at our temple. It looks a mess, just a bunch of rumble. It's all just all tore up, destroyed. That's kind of what your temple looks like after Adam and Eve sinned. Through one man's disobedience, we all was placed in sin. Our temple doesn't look in the image of the temple that God created. Our temple is messed up. We got to have a renovation of our temple that's brought about by the Holy Spirit. And so they go in there. They're led by God to rebuild the temple. And Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, came to them and he said, it's not by might you're going to rebuild the temple. It's not by power. It's not by your might. It's not by your power. But it's by the Holy Spirit, saith God. You're never going to rebuild your temple without God's Holy Spirit. So what's that telling us? We are the temple of God. We will never build our temple to where God originally wanted it to be, in the image of God, without the Holy Spirit. You're never going to be the person you want to be without the Holy Spirit. You're never going to have the mind of Christ like you need to be without the Holy Spirit. We cannot make it. Without Him, we're nothing, but with Him, we can do all things. To fulfill God's purpose in the world, we need the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. He told the disciples, he said, I want you to go. Do not go into ministry. Don't do nothing. You can't do anything. Don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't say anything until you be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're no match for the devil. We're no match for this world. We're no match for ministry without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You will receive. Now, these were already saved. I know some people go, well, the way you were raised, you get it all at salvation. You get a one-time Holy Spirit experience. And then there's some of us, we believe in the two-time thing. You got to have salvation, then there's a filling of the Holy Spirit. I believe in a multiple times because I believe being filled with the Holy Spirit. You go, why do we have to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we're a bunch of crackpots and we leak. Look to your neighbor and say, you're just a crackpot. But I'm going to tell you something. The crackpot that's got cracks in it, that's got the Holy Spirit in it, lets the light shine out and the world can see that God uses these earthly vessels and He fills it with His Spirit anyway. Here's another thing. Some of you are told that the Holy Spirit will not come in your life if you don't get your act together and you don't get your life cleaned up. That ain't the truth. If you can get your life cleaned up without the Holy Spirit, you don't need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit when you're nasty, dirty, you're not doing right, you're not living right, you're not talking right, you're watching the wrong stuff, you're listening to the wrong stuff, you're messing around with the wrong people. That's when you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to come into you and He wants to reprove you every time you do some of that garbage. And it may be a little light garbage like talking badly to somebody at a restaurant, but He'll say, you shouldn't have done that. And now you're going to go make it right. And you need to go make it right. It may be you have to go and ask your mother-in-law to forgive you. Now, how many knows that's hard to do? Or your father-in-law. Or your child. Or your ex. Hey, Pastor, you could have left that one off. I agree. I'm just telling you, I can't tell you where the Holy Spirit's going to take you, but He's going to clean you up first. Because He's going to get all the junk out of the way. He wants you to be an artesian well, and He can't with all that junk in there. He can't fill you if there's a pile of bitterness in there. Jeff did a good job last week when I was gone, talking about the works of the flesh. And you know, somebody does something to you, it's like drinking poison, and you just take in a whole bunch of bitterness. Oh my God, I'm bitterness. I hate guys. I hate all guys. I don't think I'm ever going to marry again. I hate all of them. Or you may be, I hate women. I don't think I'm ever going to be with another woman because women are bad. Paul said, I think it's better not even touch a woman. Paul must have had a bad experience at one time or another. But you know, when you get bitter, when you get hurt, when you get bitter, you go, I'm never doing that again. And as long as you're bitter, that bitterness, it'll spring up. It'll start roots. And how many knows if something roots, it won't be long until it's got fruits. and people can notice your fruits, and your fruit is revealing your roots, and your root is not in Jesus Christ. You're rooted in bitterness. You're rooted in anger. You're rooted in anger. You're rooted in all these things. And God can't show himself out of that vessel. Is that the same guy that was talking hateful to me the other day? That's a shame. He's a hypocrite. So the Holy Spirit starts with you. He cleans up. That's why I'm telling you, the fruit of the Spirit is always a precursor to the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are actually more important than the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit makes place for the gifts of the Spirit. Nobody wants to see your gift until they see your fruit. That's what Paul said in Romans 13. He says, it don't matter. You can have the tongues of men, which there's tongues of men or tongues of angels. You can have both of those kind of tongues. But if you don't have love, you're like a tinkling cymbal. You're nothing to me. You're dead to me. You ever seen somebody, they get a little bit of religion and they want to start telling you what to do? You go, you ain't earned that yet. You're not living, you're high today, but tomorrow you'll be that same hateful person you used to be. It takes a while. But like Jeff said, you keep pouring enough water in there, you can dilute that thing down. Some of you need a flood. You need the water. God, just pour that water in. I got a bunch of bitterness. It's going to take a lot of water. A woman come to Jesus with at the well there. Jesus come to her and he goes, you need some of the water. God, she said, you don't even have a pail to get the water. And he goes, I'm not talking about that water. I'm talking about a water. If you drink after me, you'll never hunger. You'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. And she didn't quite understand what he's talking about. He wasn't talking about that well there. He's talking about a well. And he said, this well I'll put on, it'll flow through you. It'll be a rivers of water coming out of you. In other words, it'll dilute every nasty, sorry thing. You've had not one husband. You've not had one bad relationship. You've had five bad relationships. You're bitter. You're hateful. You're angry. You let that well get a running in you. It'll wash out all that out. Praise God, she got it. She got it. She went out and said, I want you to, she didn't go like, I've made it. She went out and said, hey, you know how bad I am, right? I've been with you. You know how bad I am. Come see a man that told me everything about me. That's why some people don't want the Holy Spirit. They're afraid the Holy Spirit's going to reveal something about them that they're not living right. He will. He'll say, my God, turn that TV off. I can't believe you're watching that junk. But Holy Spirit, that's one of my favorite shows. But Holy Spirit, that's one of my favorite places to go. Holy Spirit, always. That's why he'll reprove the world. You don't need no deacon committee. You don't need no church to come around and you know, some people want a church that will be down on them all the time. We just want people to come alive to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does it. You know, you ever have out-of-town Christians? They're good around town. They get out of town. They live like the devil. I'm out of town. Nobody knows what's good. I mean, it's like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It don't no more. People's got cell phones, iPhones. A lot of marriages been ruined. It don't stay in Vegas. Just ask a lot of the people that got their whole life messed up because of that. You will receive power, enablement when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll become witnesses. Once the Holy Spirit starts working, you will be a witness. They'll go, man, you see him? He's not like he used to be. And when you become that witness, you'll be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, the ends of the earth. It'll cause you to fight the good fight. Why is it the good fight? There's no place that tells you, you're not going to get so close to God that you're not tempted anymore. You're going to have to fight the devil tooth and nail until you go to heaven or go to the grave. But it's a good fight because we're going to win because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It's a good fight. You know, if you know you're going to win, bring it on, bud. Somebody you're talking about, you know, they're on the phone with you. How big a boy are you? Because you're a big boy, I may back down, but if you're not too big, bring it on, buddy. I'm out here in the parking lot. When you know you got God on your side, how big a boy? It don't matter. God's on my side. Bring it on. See, when you are tempted, he will also give you an ability and endure the temptation and a way of escape. We love that verse right there. God will not put no more on you than you can bear. He'll always give you a way to escape. Well, you better read the first part of that. It's if you're led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit. If you're full of the Spirit. The Spirit is your way of escape. But if you don't want the Spirit, you don't welcome the Spirit. I believe there's a lot of people dead today because they wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, Paul, you better get out of town. These people are going to kill you. Okay, I'm leaving. It only took Paul a few times getting stoned, and he realized, and I'm not talking about this kind of stone. I'm talking about getting stoned with rocks. He goes, man, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit next time. That was a close call. They let Paul out of town in a basket over the wall, and he snuck out of town. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to face attacks and trials in life. There's no place to say you're not going to have attacks and trials in life. You will. There are attacks where, David said this about himself, their attacks were so fierce that I nearly fell, but the Lord helped me. My power and my strength come from the Lord, and he has saved me. It's the Holy Spirit that done that. We find our peace in the Holy Spirit and our rest and our passion to please God. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on, get that word, set on, what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. It's not will not, you cannot please God. You know, I love cruise control. I had one car, my cruise control went out, and I paid about $300 to get another one put in. I didn't realize they're that high. But you know, going on a long trip, you got to have cruise control. You can't put your foot on the pedal all day. That's archaic. You got to have a cruise control. Back a long time ago, I had a stick. You just put a stick, you measure like your stick, 70 miles an hour, you put it in, it'll just stay 70 all the way. You got to move the stick, put on the brake. Back in the old days. But I got a cruise control now. And you know, you can set it on a cruise control, like, okay, I'm going to Knoxville, I'm going to set it on 69.9. I don't want to get caught by the highway patrol. So 60.9, you got to watch out on the downslopes. But once I set it, I know that I can just see them, like, I go past one. I got it set. You're not going to get me. I got it set. If it's set. They got cars now that almost drive themselves. A friend of mine, he had one, and his little mirror things has got this sensor in it that if he's going down the road and he tries to pull over and he's pulling over on another car, it'll go, no, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're going to hit that car. It'll start shaking and fight you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You get your mind set on Christ and the Holy Spirit, you start doing, why is this so hard? Because, dummy, you ain't supposed to be over there. You're going to get hit. You're going to get in a wreck. You're going to wreck your whole life if you do that. Get your eyes off that woman. It fights against you. When you learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, you will know this is not right. It's fighting against you. It's fighting against you. You know when you're fighting against. You ever tried to persuade yourself, you're already in debt, and you're trying to persuade yourself to buy something you don't need to impress people you don't know with money you don't have. You ever done that? And you go, well, you know, I could use that, and if I buy it, you know, it'd give me more time. I have more time with my wife, and you know, everybody would be impressed I got it. And you ever do that sales thing on you? The very fact you're having to do that sales thing on you is the very proof that you don't need it. You're trying to convince yourself. It's like, I don't want somebody that's head over heels in debt trying to teach me Dave Ramsey. I don't care if they got the book memorized. I don't want to go down here to the gym and have someone 500 pound doing teaching me how to lose weight. They may know it. They may have went to all the classes, but they haven't convinced me yet. I'm not convinced. I was telling the worship team, when we worship God, tell your face that you're worshiping God. And that goes for all of you. You're never going to sell Christ to your friends you bring to church. He's like, you're just like, I'll be glad when they get through with the pre-game show where the show starts. Worship is not the pre-game show. Worship is where you get in touch with God. You magnify God. You lift up God. Did you know that David was in a cave running from all the people trying to kill him? He was supposed to get a crown, but he got a cave. You know, a lot of times I want my robe and my crown, and we first get our cave. David was in the cave, and evidently there's a bunch of other rejects in the cave that were running for their life. And David gets in there and like, my God, I'm serving God. I'm supposed to be God's man. I'm in a cave and everybody hates my guts. And David finally got off of his ego and himself, and he started worshiping God. And these rejects in the cave started noticing something about David. And eventually David started worshiping God, and it said his countenance changed. And something about his countenance changing caused those rejects to want to be on David's team. And now David had an army in a cave. I'm going to tell you, if you'll learn to praise God, if you'll learn to worship God, God will give you an army of people that will help you fight against the devil. You got to get out of yourself. And this right here about your rest. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? That's what I told you. What was God making when he made out? He was making a temple. Don't you know? Don't you know that you are God's temple? God's Spirit lives in you? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Don't you know that? We're the temple of God. We're the temple of God. He said, he don't give all of us the gifts. He gives us one gift here and one gift there. When we get together, we're the body of Christ. We have the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, all that. We have that. We come together in God's body. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. And he says, greater things are you going to do than I've done. We are the body of Christ. How do we understand? If you don't, it's God that give us this word. If you don't have the Holy Spirit gave all the books of these 66, he gave it to people. Who better to explain this word than the Holy Spirit? The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him. Some people think that me talking about the Holy Spirit is foolishness. The natural man does not understand spiritual things. You got to get it before you get it. You got to get it before you get it. For they are foolish to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of Christ. Yet the mind of Christ, the Bible makes a whole lot more sense. But when he, the Spirit of truth, we all need the Spirit of truth, come. He will guide you in all truth. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That's what why wouldn't anybody not want the Holy Spirit? If there's something weird you heard about, don't take that. You don't have to take it. You take the good stuff. Leave the bad. Just take the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. Take that. The other part, leave it behind. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But how many can say we need the Holy Spirit? I had somebody that was telling me they was going down the road the other day, and they was like, God, why don't you talk to me like you used to talk to me? He said, I literally turned around in the middle of the road. If there would have been a police, I'd have probably got arrested. He turned around, he come to the church, and he confessed something in his life. And I said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to you. You know that, don't you? Because you'd have never done that on your own. But it opens up you. You get open. And it starts with you. It always starts with you. It always starts with us. The Holy Spirit starts dealing with us, and then later on, maybe he will help you to help someone else. He can do it. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. He knows our mind. He knows the mind of the body of Christ. He's powerful. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for these good people. I thank you for your word. I especially thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings to us the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. God, we pray for the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the precursor. It goes before the gifts of the Spirit. Nobody wants to hear or see or experience any of the gifts of the Spirit if they first don't see the fruit of the Spirit in those people. The fruit reveals the root. If we're rooted and grounded in Jesus, then the fruit will be there. God, I pray for a revival in this church, a revival in me. I welcome the Holy Spirit's convicting power. Some people don't even like to go to church recently because they don't want the Holy Spirit convicting them. They have to know that the Holy Spirit only convicts those that He wants to help. He wants to correct. He wants to keep them from going through a hard time in their life. He wants to help them to not have a wreck in their life, an accident in their life or in their marriage or in their relationships of life. We open ourselves to the Holy Spirit. God, everyone that's struggling, they've been taught in a way that this is so foreign to them. Lord, I know Your Spirit will be patient with them. Let them just receive what they can receive and hold off on what they can't receive right now. It's okay. We love everybody here today. We ask for Your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray.